In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I was asked by someone yesterday that maybe we need a pep talk because some of us are tired. And me, the smart aleck Irishman that I am, said, who's going to give me a pep talk? But I get my pep talks. I get my pep talks from reading the scripture and reading the letter of divine ascent, which I always greet during Great Lent. We're celebrating St. John Climacus today. I talked about him yesterday, or some of the things that he has written. And today I want to basically talk about the whole intent of his book, but in a parable. And the parable is what we read today. Now, perhaps you don't think we read a parable in the scriptures today, but I think we did. Because for me, when I see incidents in the scriptures where sinners are helped, where paralytics are raised, where demoniacs have demons cast out of them, as today, where a father has hope that is fulfilled, that's a parable to me. Because that's there for my instruction and your instruction too. And it is a story, factual, but also which applies to your life. So let's think of this healing of the demoniac son as a parable and perhaps as a pep talk. Now, I've always hated pep talks. Any of us who've been in corporate America, about every year there's a pep talk. It's always the same stupid stuff. And a different pep talk happens, but basically the same stuff when leadership changes, about every year, every other year. That's kind of vacuous. I prefer, if you want to say, to coin a terrible phrase, I don't think it's going to catch on, pep experiences. Experiencing God is what gives life and what gives joy. Feeling God work in your life, seeing Him work in the lives of others, feeling His closeness to you. As Job says, the Spirit is in His nostrils. Feel God that close. That is, not just close, but within you. That is what we need. We need that every day. Now, if a person is not real serious, kind of indifferent about the spiritual life, anything that I say today, either you'll get bored or it might even make you a little mad or it might make you a little scared. If you're tuned in, though, if you're trying, I don't care how well you're doing. I tell you this all the time. I hope you hear me. It doesn't matter how well you're doing, if you fast well or not. It matters that you desire to fast. It doesn't matter if you're sinning. It matters if you want to stop sinning. That's the thing that really matters. And all of us are sinners and all of us are weak. But if you desire what is eternal, God will bring it to you, just as He brought it to this man who had a demoniac son who couldn't be helped by the Lord's disciples. So this pep talk, if you want to call it that, this parable applies to your life if you would have it. And if not, then it doesn't apply to your life. The Lord said, anyone who will take up his cross. He's asking you, for your permission. He's saying, do you want to do it or not? So this parable applies to you if you want it to. And I tell you, this type of parable applies to me every single day. Every single day. So let's tell the story. While the Lord was transfigured on the mountain is when this boy was brought to the disciples that were remaining, and they couldn't cast out the demon. The Lord was showing Himself as He is to His three disciples. He was showing the kingdom of heaven to them. But down below, the kingdom of the earth was holding full sway over a poor boy, and the father was beside himself with grief and with anxiety. So he brings the boy to the Lord, and he describes what's happening to the boy. And there's a lot of symbolism in all that, and sometimes I tell you all these things, but for clarity, and maybe even a touch of brevity, we won't go into all those things about the fire and the water and that sort of thing. But it's clear that this boy is suffering terribly, and so is his father. And so the Lord says to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's the first highlight, the first thing I underlined. You know, remember I tell you I underline things and circle things? That's the first thing. If we can believe, everything's possible. Well, that sounds pretty simple. Let's all go believe, okay? Sermon's done. let's go have a good life. Well, that's not the way it works, is it? Because our belief is very weak. It's weak because of us. It's weak because of our sins. It's not weak for any other reason. The sinner has weak belief. To the extent that you have weak belief, that's the extent to which you're a sinner. So the man says to him, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, that really makes me very happy. Because the Lord says everything's possible if you believe, but I don't believe enough. None of you do either. If you're honest with yourself, you'll agree with me on this statement. None of you believe enough. And the man says, help my unbelief. And the inference, of course, by what happens later, is that the Lord will help your unbelief. That's very good news. And so, somewhat out of order, we'll speak of this parable, because the parable kind of goes in an order, but then there's something at the end which should be inserted now. So the man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And at the end of the miracle, when the disciples were perplexed why they couldn't cast out the demon, the Lord tells them, among other things, he says this, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So when the man says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, then let us have the Lord answering him here. You can believe, but you've got to pray and you've got to fast. Take those things specifically. It should be taken specifically. We certainly do in our Christian life. But let's take them generally too. What he's saying is, how important is it to you? How much are you going to struggle? I'm going to help you struggle, but you got to struggle. If you're just asking to be bonked on the head with a magic wand, that is not going to happen. Your belief will come to you. This kind, your unbelief, will come forth, will get out of you. Or a demon will go out and God will come in. Or lust will go out and purity will come in. Or whatever it is that assails you, but you got to work. It's not a popular message. The world doesn't like it. I just recently had some correspondence with someone who's a pastor, not in the Orthodox Church, and literally, he believes that the Bible must change with the times, that the Bible must adapt to the times. We must adapt to the Bible. We must adapt to God. If we adapt the Bible to the times, then whatever terrible times we're in, we can justify. Who wants to justify sin? Sin hurts. Even if you say it's not sin, it still hurts. So if we want to be cured of our unbelief and the things that cause the unbelief, the sin that causes the unbelief, then we better work. It doesn't come forth except by prayer and fasting. It's a difficult message for some. If you will take it, take it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's not just all arduous work, like you're slogging up a steep hill in mud, because the Lord gives you consolation all the time if you look for it. All the time you see consolation. I see it every day, and I feel it every day. But you got to be looking for it, and if you're struggling, you end up seeing it. So the Lord says to the man in this parable that we're constructing out of this factual event. If you want to believe, then pray and fast. Then struggle. Then stop doing stupid things. Then get serious. At some point in your life, you should have read more pages in the Bible than you've read Reader's Digest pages in a doctor's office. You should know more about the gospel than you know about some TV show. Get serious and start to work. God will help your unbelief. It's absolutely certain. Now, parables generally are this kind of, there's a time warp in them. They are describing an event, but actually they're, you can stretch them to describe an entire life. So that's what this parable is doing. So when the Lord says, pray and fast, then this is our lifetime of labor. And when the man says, I believe, help my unbelief, over time, belief becomes belief. It's a process. It's not an instantaneous event. But if you try to get better, you will. Now, that's pretty good news. If that doesn't pep you up, I can't help you too much. You will get better if you try. That's great news. And so, we're going to see how you get better, though. Here comes some bad news. A little bit. Difficult news. The process of getting better is not pretty. It's not neat and clean, because we're not neat and clean, because there's ugliness inside us. So for this ugliness to come out, it's a difficult transition. So hard stuff happens. And so this is what the parable shows. So the Lord rebukes the spirit. I charged thee, come out of him. He didn't just come out of him and all of a sudden the man was singing psalms and smiling like you've seen sometimes those bands, Jesus songs, and they're all smiling and they're all playing the guitar. And that's not the way life is. That's not the way the transition from evil to good is. It's a difficult transition. If you will hear it, because it's true. And so, what happens to the man or to the boy? The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him as one dead, insomuch as many said, he's dead. So that process elongated over the course of your life. I'm not saying that every single day of your life is agony, but there's things that happen when you learn stuff about yourself that is not nice to know. And you have experiences which humble you. And so far, the only experiences I have found that humble me are ones that humiliate me. Maybe you found that too. I don't like to be humiliated. So far, the only experiences I've learned help me curb my anger are ones where I get angry or struggle against my anger. It's like that with a lot of things. It's a difficult process. But what happens? He looks like he's dead. Everybody thinks he's dead. The Lord knows he's not dead. So he just takes his hand and lifted him up and he rose. That's what's going to happen to you and me. That's the good news. That's the good news in the true Christian perspective of what Jesus Christ does for us. God is not just some sort of gumball machine in the sky that we take gumballs from whenever we want. We have a problem. He's fixing us. He's a physician. When you go to a physician and you've got, let's say, a wound, it's going to hurt when he cleans it. But then it's going to be well. And so there's wounds in us. And it's going to hurt sometimes when they get cleaned. But the good news is they will get cleaned. Because the man said, that is you and me in the parable, said, I believe, help my unbelief. And the Lord did. That's good news. The best news I know. That's the gospel. You can be perfected. You can get better. Do you want to get better? I hope you do. God will help you get better. So this period of great Lent is for that. Let me say one thing from the Ephesians selection that was for St. John. This is the get better part. This is what we're going to become. This is very good news. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's the answer to the man's request. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. At the end of the Lord fulfilling that request is all goodness and righteousness and truth. No bad stuff in you. No anger, no lust, no remembering wrongs, no having your ego pricked, no laziness, no despondency. Just goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what you should be aiming for. If you're not aiming for those things, then you're on the wrong bus. I've never been a good traveler. I've always been scared. Every time the bus driver says, if you're not going to this destination, you're on the wrong bus. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, okay, right? This is where I'm going. You better know where you're going. If you're a bad traveler with buses, it doesn't matter. But you better be a good traveler in life. So I hope this parable encourages you. It sure encourages me. The Lord will answer our prayer. If we say we don't have enough belief, he will help us. The process sometimes is a little difficult, but he will help us. It will happen. And at the end of this process, there will be goodness and righteousness and truth. Glory be to God. Amen.